investments. Get the money that is owed to you and call the Andrews Law today, 480-237-9756. That's 480-237-9756, or visit andrewslawplc.com.
Forecasters say Arizona will be hit with major dust storms this year. Will you know what to do? Dust storms develop quickly and reduce visibility in just seconds. Any dust storm, large or small, can be dangerous for drivers. Will you know what to do? When a dust storm hits, pull aside, stay alive. Pull completely off the roadway, turn off your lights, wait for the storm to pass. Learn more at pullasidestayalive.org.
Sponsored by ADOT, in partnership with the Arizona Broadcasters Association and this station.
Don't put up with high and rising cable prices. For as little as $19.99 a month, you can enjoy high-quality satellite TV with your favorite channels for a lot less than you're paying for cable. So ditch the cable and get more of your favorite channels in incredible digital quality for a lot less than you're paying now. Just call 800-871-9523 now and get started with satellite TV and a ton of new channels. Our satellite TV packages come with a free DVR upgrade and free professional installation. Not only that, but some packages even include free HD TV upgrades. With over 200 national HDTV channels available, what are you waiting for? You can also record your favorite shows, pause and rewind live TV, skip commercials, and get other great features. Now, starting at just $19.99, you don't have to buy any equipment and installation is free. Call 800-871-9523. Pay less money, get more TV. Take advantage of this special $19.99 offer. Call 800-871-9523. That's 800-871-9523.
Why is my son having trouble in school?
Finding lowest airfare to Istanbul.
No, I'm tired of fighting with my son over his homework.
Home, walk, restaurant, need a review?
No, he's smart, but his mind wanders.
Seven wonders of the world.
Why don't you understand me?
I do. I was trying to show how Connor feels every day. Redirecting to understood.org.
Join parents and experts at understood.org, a free online resource about learning and attention issues to help your child thrive.
Brought to you by understood.org and the Ad Council.
Attention women business owners. Want to learn cutting-edge strategies to rev up your revenue and boost your bottom line? Join other savvy business owners at the Women Entrepreneurs Small Business Bootcamp, February 7th in Scottsdale, for a powerful day of education and motivation. Register online at www.womensbusinessbootcamp.com. That's www.womensbusinessbootcamp.com. Or call 602-828-1177 for more details.
This show is brought to you by Discount Tire. Your low price journey starts at Discount Tire.
The information and opinions expressed in this broadcast are intended to address specific questions asked or situations described on this program and are not designed to constitute advice or recommendations as to any disease, ailment, or physical condition. You should not act or rely upon any information contained in this broadcast without seeking the advice of your personal physician. If you have any questions about the information or opinions expressed during this broadcast, please contact your doctor.
Good afternoon, Arizona. Yeah. It's time for Doctor Talk with Dr. Belinda Barclay-White, a board-certified radiologist who specializes in breast imaging and breast-related issues, and Dr. Carrie Bordinko, a board-certified doctor of internal medicine and personal physician. This show is about your health care, your well-being, and your life. Get the latest information and answers to your questions from nationally recognized physicians and health care experts. To join the conversation, visit our Facebook.com/Dr. Talk and use the hashtag Dr. Talk. That's Facebook.com/Dr. Talk. It's time for Dr. Talk with hosts Dr. Barclay-White and Dr. Bordinko.
Well, thank you for joining us on another Saturday here at Dr. Talk. As always, we appreciate you listening to us and liking us on Facebook. And we are here today to talk about a continuation of a topic we started last week, which is breast cancer. So this is going to be our part two segment. And last week we had a panel of guests in our studio. It was actually very full in here. If you look at our Facebook page, you see how many people we crammed into this tiny place. But we were in the studio talking about the diagnosis of breast cancer, as well as surgery and reconstructive surgery options that are available. And we actually had a breast cancer patient who was undergoing that process, who was able to share her story, which I think was great for our listeners to hear. But today, we're going to move on with that topic, and we're going to talk about the next step for some of our listeners that may have had an experience of breast cancer or may be faced with it in the future. There may be radiation and chemotherapy involved, and we're going to go into a lot more detail on that today.
So, yes, so last week we basically talked about the local treatment of breast cancer. So women don't die of breast cancer in the breast. They succumb to the distant spread of disease. But we still have to control the cancer locally. So last week we talked about lumpectomy versus mastectomy, and we also talked about lumpectomy and the need for radiation. And I would like to get actually back to that later in the show when we're talking about radiation oncology, because there have been some changes there in older women. But this week we're going to move on to the distant control of breast cancer. So that means we are now going to be talking about radiation sometimes after mastectomy, but also mainly chemotherapy. So the benefits of this team approach is now widely recognized, although it really hasn't been available for that long.
No, it hasn't, and I think we're seeing this in a lot of the cancer that we're talking about. We're going to bring it up on a lot of the future shows as well, is that this new concept of getting a group of doctors, all that specialize or highly specialize in just that form of cancer, and getting them around a table talking together really can lead to some pretty phenomenal outcomes for the person going through the cancer diagnosis.
And even better when they share that information with the patient, hopefully up front, because it takes away so much of the confusion and fear about their disease if they really understand their disease particularly, because no two cancers are alike, and where their journey is going to lead them.
You know, Deborah did a great job last week when she joined us on the show, and she said the thing that eased her mind the most as the patient going through a new diagnosis of cancer was knowing that she had a team that was talking and working together and collaborating on what was going to be the best options for her in her own particular, you know, need, you know, not looking at, well, we do this with everybody, but just looking at her as an individual and helping her walk that journey and knowing that she had someone to reach out to. So we're going to continue that same concept today with the guests in the studio, talking about how do you find that team and what can that team do for you.
So as part of that team, I am delighted to introduce Dr. Geraldo. Did they actually call you that? We call you Jerry. Dr. Jerry Cato, who is a medical oncologist, hematologist, and partner at Pinnacle Oncology and Hematology here in Scottsdale. He completed his undergraduate degree at Cornell University, and his fellowship in hematology and medical oncology was completed at the Comprehensive Cancer Center of Wake Forest University. So Dr. Cato joined Pinnacle Oncology after serving as the Chief of Hematology and Oncology at Maricopa Medical Center and practicing in the Scottsdale area for several years. He has a special interest in breast cancer, and I'm delighted that he is joining us here today to help us with all these complicated questions.
Thank you for having me.
Welcome. So shall we start off with something really basic, like what causes breast cancer?
That's sure. A great question.
So about 10% of the breast cancer is inherited, and that can be actually tested with genetic testing with BRCA1 and BRCA2. And usually the women have a family history of either breast cancer, ovarian cancer, prostate cancer. And so it's important to know your family history, because that can be tested and that can help your treatment as well as your family and prevent breast cancer and ovarian cancer and other rare cancers that are related to being tested positive. And now we have several companies that do test and most insurance are covering it. About the rest of the breast cancer, we really don't know why patients get breast cancer. There are risk factors related, but we really don't know why.
Yes, I think we can all sort of theorize, right, that it's the way what we eat and how we treat ourselves and what we're exposed to.
A lot of environmental factors are starting to come to light in the world of many cancers. Colon cancer is also another leading cause, I think, where we start talking about the foods and the processed foods and everything. But, you know, if we can control our risks or not is almost like a secondary point. You know, I think what we're trying to help the listeners understand is you get the diagnosis and what do you do next? Because that's the biggest question. What step do I have to take? So for someone who has gone past the surgery point and now they're leading into disease that has spread outside, you know, they're needing to sit down with a medical oncologist and figure out what is my next step.
So does everyone need chemotherapy?
No. And it's a team because not all breast cancer are alike and they're not treated alike. It really depends on the size of your tumor. It depends whether you have positive lymph nodes. And it depends on the biology of their tumor. In biology, there's estrogen receptor, progesterone receptor, and HER2. If you don't have positive lymph nodes, there are genomic tests to see if your tumor is responsive to chemotherapy or not. And with all those tests, we have reduced the amount of chemotherapy that we actually give to women and avoid the side effects from chemotherapy. For women that are positive lymph nodes, we're doing the clinical trials to see if they require chemotherapy or not. And so, again, it all depends on the size of the tumor, the biology of the tumor, and all breast cancer are treated differently, and that's why you need a team to put your treatments together.
So it might be that your cancer is diagnosed early, it's a low-grade cancer, it's estrogen receptor positive, progesterone receptor positive, which are all actually good signs. And they may not need chemotherapy, but they may need a so-called hormonal therapy.
That's correct. So if your tumor has to be estrogen progesterone receptor positive, that means that it grows by taking hormone replacement. And what we do is give anti-estrogen therapy, and there are different brands of medication that we can give that have reduced the recurrence of breast cancer and mortality of breast cancer.
And it's interesting because when I diagnose little tiny cancers, the thing that I tell patients is, you're going to be fine. We're going to cure this cancer. Your biggest issue is going to be, particularly in younger women, is losing those estrogens, whether we put you into a premature menopause or whether we actually give you a drug to decrease what little you have even more. And that, for most of my patients, is much more of an issue than any of the surgery or radiation or anything else that might have to be.
And that's correct, because that interferes with your quality of life.
Yes.
But that's something that you discuss with your oncology. And there's other options. You can't tolerate medications. There's several medications that you can try. But quality of life is an important issue, and the anti-estrogen do affect the quality of life in some patients with hot flashes.
So that leaves us with a great teaser to come back after the break. You're listening to us on Dr. Talk 99.3 FM, 1510 AM. We'll be right back with you.
Do you dread having your annual screening mammogram? For a totally different experience, give Arizona BreastNet a call. Our all-female staff provides you with years of expertise and immediate results in a clean, state-of-the-art, spa-like facility that respects your mind, your body, and your time. If, on the other hand, you have a new breast lump or breast-related finding, call Arizona BreastNet today for an immediate appointment and consultation with a doctor who will give you your results at the time of your visit. At Arizona BreastNet, you will never have to wonder, worry, or wait. Get your results today and call 480-314-7600. That's 480-314-7600 for an immediate appointment, or you can visit us online at breastnet.net for more information.
We When you're driving down the road, the last thing you want to think about is tires. Trust Discount Tire to get you up to speed with the right tire for your vehicle. We carry the world's best brands of tires, all at everyday low prices. At Discount Tire, we're not just about tires, we're about people. We'll get you the right tire for your vehicle to help keep you safe on the road. Stop by any Discount Tire store for a free air pressure and tire safety check. Your low price journey starts here. Discount Tire.
Your healthcare, your well-being, and your life. Now back to Dr. Talk with Dr. Barclay White, a board-certified radiologist, and Dr. Bordinko, a board-certified doctor of internal medicine and personal physician. To join the conversation, visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/Dr. Talk and use the hashtag Dr. Talk. That's facebook.com/Dr. Talk. Now, here's your hosts, Dr. Bordinko and Dr. Barclay White.
So welcome back to Dr. Talk. We are here in the studio with Dr. Carrie Bordinko, Dr. Jerry Cato, who is a chemo-oncologist, and Dr. Kusky, who is a radiation oncologist, has just joined us, and I will be introducing him in a minute. But we were beginning to talk about staging of breast cancer. So, Jerry, can you run through that a little bit so that patients understand why they might need chemotherapy?
Sure. So we stage all cancers because it helps us know what's the treatment and the prognosis. And there are three things that we look at. One is the size of the tumor. The second that we look at is whether you have positive lymph nodes or not, and then whether it has metastasized or not. And for breast cancer, there's stage zero, and it goes all the way to 4, and 4 means metastatic disease. Stage 0 is ductal carcinoma in situ, which is DCIS, which is really a premalignancy with excellent prognosis. Stage 1 is small tumors, less than 2 centimeters, with no positive lymph node. And then stage 2 are tumors that either measure greater than 2 centimeters and less than 5, or have a positive lymph node. Stage 3 are usually bigger tumors, and again, stage 4 is metastatic disease.
So spread of that cancer to beyond the lymph nodes, to vital organs.
Stage 4, that's right. So in, for breast cancer, they tend to go either the bone, the lung, or the liver.
Okay. So most of the cancers we diagnose these days are stage 1. Right.
And that's due a lot to people getting their screening mammograms, which we've talked about on multiple prior shows. So
yes,
we're doing a better job of getting people diagnosed early.
That's correct. That's correct.
So let me introduce Dr. Kusky, Dr. Robert Kusky, who I've known for many years. He came to Phoenix how long ago?
11 years ago from University of Wisconsin in Madison.
Right, and he is known as a pioneer with brachytherapy or local radiation therapy to the breast, right?
Correct.
So, that, and when did you actually start doing that? Probably 20 years ago, right?
1991, so 23 years ago, a patient from Venezuela who ran the oil industry in Venezuela insisted that the doctors think out of the box and come up with something different that fit her, not just her tumor, but her life.
Because she could not go somewhere for 6 weeks and have daily radiation. So she was looking for an alternative.
She was a very strong woman, and she knew what she wanted, and she got it.
So for our listeners to understand, because if someone hasn't walked down that journey of breast cancer and had to do radiation, they may not understand how time-consuming and how much it disrupts the entire family's lifestyle when a doctor tells you, we've taken your tumor out, but we need to do radiation. So what is that standard process, or we, I might almost say the old process, because I think we are moving away from that in many centers. What did a woman, when she was told, you need radiation, what did that mean to her?
Well, typically, we have treated the entire breast for years and years, decades and decades. And because you're covering the entire breast, you have to take it slow. You give a light dose Monday through Friday for 6.5 weeks so that the patient tolerates it with very few side effects. It tends to be a 15 to 30 minute treatment once a day, 5 days a week for 6.5 weeks. And obviously, this patient from Venezuela, that was unacceptable to her, and she insisted on a shorter treatment.
And that, and you're going to detail the shorter treatment, which is actually very exciting. And there have been some sort of versions of offspring of that, right? Actually, since your initial brachytherapy catheter.
The original idea has many children now.
Yes, that's right, that's right. But it's a huge advantage for women, for instance, you know, not living near a center that has, you know, that they can travel in the car a few minutes for radiation therapy every day for half an hour. So a lot of women were having mastectomies because they couldn't have lumpectomies and radiation. So it's really changed the way we do things in a lot of places.
Well, you should have seen what happened in Louisiana. I was practicing in New Orleans at the time, and we had many, many patients that lived down the bayou, 2 hours from any radiotherapy clinic. And these poor women were getting mastectomies for little 5-millimeter cancers because they couldn't drive 4 hours a day for their radiotherapy. It was a big boon to those women.
Right. So explain to us a little bit about localized therapy.
Well, the idea was that we had discovered that almost all the recurrences are within an inch of the original tumor. So we said, why not intensify the treatment to that site, leave the rest of the breast alone? And we did that with the radioactive seeds given through hollow plastic catheters. So we surround the original tumor site with an array of hollow plastic catheters. We have a robot that runs this radioactive seed through the catheters, giving radiation from the inside out, like kind of like a light bulb inside the breast, but the light doesn't even reach the skin or the ribs or the muscles. It basically treats the affected part of the breast, leaves the rest of it alone. And since it's up against the tissues that harbored the cancer originally, you can do it in 5 days instead of 6.5 weeks.
So that is a huge improvement. So, but obviously not everyone can have that done. So can you tell us a little bit about how you decide who is amenable to that type of therapy versus whole breast radiation?
Yeah, I was listening to the previous discussion about how important it is to diagnose breast cancer in an early stage. Not only does that save lives, but it also saves breasts. Mm-hmm. Because the earlier you are with the diagnosis, you don't need a mastectomy. The cure rates are exactly the same with a lumpectomy as long as you follow it with radiotherapy. So it's important to maximize local control of the cancer in the breast, but also rely on the Dr. Cato's of the world to get rid of any cancer cells that could be in the bloodstream to maximize our cure rates. I'm sure you might have mentioned before I arrived that the cure rates today with breast cancer in the United States are 30% higher than they were a decade ago. And this is due to earlier detection, but also better treatments.
Yes, right. And better, less side effects from our treatments. We're getting better at tailoring our treatments. Yeah.
You focus not only on quantity of life, but also quality of life.
Right, right.
Let's bring Dr. Cato back into this conversation. So, you know, you are really part of the team. You know, as we've been mentioning all along, we keep saying the word team, but that's a big thing that we promote on this program as well, as getting your team around you for any chronic illness or diagnosis that you may have. So when you are seeing a patient after she has had either her lumpectomy or her mastectomy, what are the first couple things that you're counseling her on? Obviously, you may be working with a radiation specialist as well to bring that in as part of the plan. What are the first couple things that you want to educate your patients about when they have that new diagnosis of breast cancer?
Well, first of all, they have to understand their tumor, the size of their tumor, their staging, their estrogen, progesterone, HER2, because that is going to tell me if that patient needs chemotherapy or not. And then I work with my radiation oncologist, because sometimes we give chemotherapy first, followed by radiation. But now with the brachytherapy, we get the brachytherapy first and then the chemotherapy. And so we communicate with the surgeon, the radiation oncologist, and see what's the best treatment for that patient and what order do we give things.
So really, I want to restate all this for our listeners if they've tuned in late to the show. It is really, I cannot stress enough, about a team approach. Because
absolutely.
We don't know, we can't tell you on your individual case which person's going to come first. Are we going to be doing brachytherapy? Are we going to do, you have to get all the players together and they have to be talking. If you can find a center which puts everybody together to talk, you're going to have the best outcomes. So this is a great segue out to our break right now. We're going to come back with more information on the treatment options out there for breast cancer based on different staging. You're listening to Dr. Talk on 99.3 FM, 1510 AM. And don't forget to like us on Facebook, /Dr. Talk.
Of the hour, we pause for a look at the world's news. Then we're back with Money Talk. We're Money Radio 1510 and 99.3 FM.
There's some good news on the Ebola front. A British nurse who contracted the virus while working in Africa has been discharged from a London hospital after making a full recovery. She says she's happy to be alive after more than 3 weeks in isolation. The volunteer with the charity Save the Children was diagnosed with the virus shortly after returning to Britain last month. She'd been volunteering at an Ebola treatment center in Sierra Leone. Meanwhile, a top UN official says cases of Ebola have dropped substantially. Back at home, if you didn't use your ice scraper yet this weekend, you may need it Monday morning.
The next round of wintry weather comes from an Alberta clipper, which should reach the upper Midwest tonight. Washington, D.C., Baltimore, Philly, and New York City will see snow from this system for the start of the work week Monday morning. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
The price at the pump drops another penny overnight. The national average, according to AAA, is $2.04 a gallon for regular. Lowest price in Missouri, scraping the bottom of the tank at $1.79. I'm Molly Page.
Did you pay for childcare last year? Did your mom move just down the street and say, I'll watch the kids while you're at work? And you were like, great. But then she said, let's discuss rates. And you found out the exact price of grandma's love. Plus overtime and holidays. No matter what you went through last year, answering questions like, did you pay for childcare, is much simpler. Intuit TurboTax. It's amazing what you're capable of.
Walgreens has a question. Where do you go when you need game day refreshments fast? Like, the game's about to start and we're down to the last soda fast. Walgreens also has an answer. It's us. We're just around the corner with your favorite game day drinks and snacks. And with great parking and short lines, we'll have you in and out fast. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Now with card, Reese's Mini Peanut Butter Cup 12-ounce bags are 2 for $7 and Coke 8-pack mini cans are 4 for $10.
This show is brought to you by Discount Tire. We carry the best selection of tires and wheels at everyday low prices.
Your health care, your well-being, and your life. Now back to Dr. Talk with Dr. Barclay White, a board-certified radiologist, and Dr. Bordinko, a board-certified doctor of internal medicine and personal physician. To join the conversation, visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/Dr. Talk and use the hashtag Dr. Talk. That's facebook.com/Dr. Talk. Now, here's your hosts, Dr. Bordinko and Dr. Barclay White.
Welcome back to Dr. Talk. We're here in the studio today with my co-host, Dr. Belinda Barclay-White, as well as joining us in studio is Dr. Cato, who's a medical oncologist, and Dr. Husky, who is a radiation oncologist. Get that right? Okay. And they're helping us and us understand, our listeners to understand, what can you do when you're given that diagnosis of breast cancer? What are my next steps and what are the questions we want to ask? And I just want to reiterate for those of you who may have tuned in late or didn't listen to last week's show about the beginning stages of breast cancer, 1 in 8 women in the U.S., that's about 12%, will develop invasive breast cancer over the course of their lifetime. And I think, Dr. Barclay-White, you said that is if they live to the age of 90, correct?
Right.
But I mean, those are still staggering numbers. And that means someone, either yourself, someone you know, someone in your family, is going to have this diagnosis and they're going to have this challenge. So this is an important show to understand what you need to know and how you can support them. And in 2014, there was an estimated 232,000 new cases of invasive breast cancer. along with 62,000 new cases of non-invasive breast cancer. That's the insight, too, that Dr. Cato was kind of referring to early on.
Right.
So still counts as cancer in most women's books, though. Let's not downplay that one.
No. So after surgery and removal of the tumor, why do patients need radiation? This is a very, very common question that I have. Why do I? Because they're very scared about radiation. In fact, I think hopefully you can reassure them that your hair doesn't fall out and all these things don't happen with radiation, because there's a lot of confusion out there. But most patients would love to avoid radiation if they can.
Well, of course they would. And not just the United States, but the world, there's a certain fear of radiation exposure. Is this going to cause more problems than it helps me? And that's a legitimate question. So we pick and choose who needs radiation based on what is the chance of one single lousy, stinking cancer cell to be left behind after surgery. So many times the surgeon says, quote, I got it all, end quote, yet there are relapses. And we know from our clinical trials in the past that after a lumpectomy, if you don't add radiation, even when the surgical margins are clear and the surgeon says, I got it all, roughly 30 to 35% of women will have a recurrence in that breast, and that can be a life-threatening event for that woman. By adding radiation, we can drop that recurrence rate to 5 to 10% with the external whole breast radiation, and our results with the brachytherapy that we talked about before, the internal radiation, are a 4% recurrence rate in the breast. So far we're doing quite well with that treatment method.
And I'd just like to clarify for our listeners that a recurrence means that the original cancer came back, which is different from developing another cancer in that breast or the other breast. So when you talk about recurrence, you want to cure that cancer and make sure there's no rogue cells left behind that can take off again.
Exactly. You know, I explain to my patients that cancers don't come in perfect spheres like a marble. They have little fingers that jut out from the cancer. It's almost shaped like a star. And all it takes is for one of those little rays to be cut through, leaving cancer cells behind, and that will lead to a recurrence down the road, a new cancer usually at the original site. So it's important to kill those cells so that they do not have a recurrence, and radiation effectively does that. It needs to be given very judiciously and carefully so that we do not expose the lung or the heart to radiation. And if you do that, the side effects are minimal and complication rates are very low. And a year after treatment, in most of my patients, you cannot tell that they've had radiation treatments. All you see is a surgical scar.
I would concur with that. I mean, it's not like it used to be in the old days. And unfortunately, so many people still have that in their mind, that it is like it used to be in the old days, because they saw their mothers, family members go through very disfiguring radiation. But it really isn't like that anymore.
No, the old treatment machines were Cobalt 60 Neanderthal machines that were very poor technology. Our current machines are $3.5 million machines that can literally hit the head of a pin. Mm. So we can shape that dose to the tissues that need it, avoid tissues that don't need radiation exposure, and give radiation very safely.
Now, the way I explain it to my patient is that once you've been diagnosed with breast cancer, it can come back in two places. One, in the breast, which is local recurrence, and that's why you need, Dr. Kuskin, maybe radiation. But and it's still curable, but you still want to prevent it from that coming back. And then it may also come outside the breast, and that's in the lungs and the liver and the bones, and that's why the therapies that we give is to prevent the cancer from coming back. Because going back to your question is, why do I need to do anything if I had surgery? Well, we want to reduce the chances of this ever come back, because one time is bad enough.
Yes, for sure.
You don't want to go through this a second time. So what we do is to prevent this from happening again, either locally or outside of the breast.
Yeah, so I tell my patients that they say, well, why do I need to see Dr. Cato if you've taken care of the problem? And I say, if there is one cell that flaked off from the breast and floated into the bloodstream, I can give radiation until the cows come home, or the surgeon can whittle away at the breast till there's nothing left, but that cell could be in the big toe when we're doing the radiation or the surgery, and it will eventually lodge somewhere and lead to a metastasis. We do not want that. So Dr. Cato minimizes the risk of any metastasis, which is life-saving.
And, you know, the treatments have changed, not only for radiation, but also in what we do in medical oncology with chemotherapy and anti-nausea medication and even anti-hormonal therapy. So they have improved, and now we have options.
And for young women, we have the sort of wonder drug, right, Herceptin, which has made a huge difference in young women's
outcomes. Yes, if your tumor is HER2 positive, and that's when we go back to the biology of your tumor. That's why it's important to know the biology of the tumor, because if it's HER2 positive, then we have new treatments that really have changed outcome of patients, and they're living longer and less recurrences.
Because the drugs that you use today are the same drugs that I remember from medical school, right? A lot of the basic three drugs. Yes?
We do, but there's exception now with HER2 positive. And again, not everybody needs chemotherapy. It depends on their estrogen receptors, HER2 receptors. And now, again, we can test to see if your tumor responds to chemotherapy or not.
So much more targeted therapies. As in radiation, much more targeted radiation.
Correct.
Throughout all of medicine, we're going to more and more targeted image-guided treatments, whether it's surgery, where localizations are important, or radiation with the brachytherapy or with targeted therapy like the Herceptin. I just wanted to mention with the Herceptin, you know, about 25 to 30% of all breast cancers will overexpress that oncogene called HER2. And this wonder drug, it really is a wonder drug. It's made such a dramatic difference in the lives of these women. If you fall into that 25 to 30% and you get Herceptin, I tell my patients, it's not a single or a double. This is a home run. This drug makes a big difference in survival.
Absolutely. It has changed outcomes.
So I think something that's always important, and we reiterate this also in a lot of shows, is, you know, people unfortunately get advice about their medical diagnosis from communities, from web searching and blogging and Googling and all that. And we are moving so fast in oncology, and things, you know, are literally, I've talked to oncologists, I said, I have to go home and read every night just to stay, to keep up with the diagnosis and the meds and the changes that are out there. So if you're comparing your diagnosis to a friend and you're having a coffee talk discussion about this, what they went through, you really need to sit down in front of your team of professionals, because what we did 3 or 5 years ago may be archaic. That's what I hear the experts saying in the room today.
That's true. And also, you know, a lot of patients, when they're diagnosed with cancer, they think that all cancers are treated the same way, and not even breast cancer is treated the same way. And that's important to know.
Mm. No, absolutely.
And it's a good idea for a woman, when they're getting consultation, if something doesn't sit right with you or you want more information, there's nothing wrong with getting a second opinion. Sometimes the first thing you need with a diagnosis of breast cancer is a second opinion.
Absolutely. Yes, I always encourage that. Definitely.
We talked earlier in the show about the staging of breast cancers, and I want to go a little bit harder into the stage 4 diagnosis. And just to clarify that for the listeners, that means it is a breast cancer originating in the breast, but it is spread to other vital organs. And you named those earlier, Dr. Cato.
Yeah, for breast cancer, they mainly go to the bone, the liver, and the lungs. And it's still breast cancer that travels to those organs. It's not lung cancer, it's not liver cancer, it's not bone cancer, it's metastatic breast cancer, because the treatments are different than if it originated in a different place. And we have excellent pathologists that can look at the biopsy of an organ and tell me where the cancer originated. And that's important to know, because we have target therapies for breast cancer, and we continue to do clinical trials to come up with better treatments and better survival.
What is the prognosis difference? I don't know if you have those stats readily available, but for one of our ladies who, they get their screening mammograms, we're catching them early, so they come up with a stage 1 or 2 tumor versus a stage 4 tumor. Can you give us some of those survival stats?
Sure. So for, stage 0 DCIS, you have an excellent prognosis. For stage 1, the chances of excellent prognosis, again, if you catch it early, especially if you're estrogen progesterone positive, it should be close to as 90%. Stage 2, probably from 80 to 90% success rate. Again, it depends on the size of the tumor and estrogen progesterone positive and HER2 positive. The ones that we have not had very good success so far are the triple negative, and that's when your estrogen, progesterone is negative, so I cannot give you an anti-hormonal therapy, and your HER2 negative, and I cannot give you Herceptin. We will continue to do clinical trials to come up with a drug for those triple negative, but so far those are the ones that we've been having problems with. But we continue to do research and see if we can come up with a medication to treat the triple negative breast cancer.
And those do occur in young women, but unfortunately, I see them in older women too, many of whom have never been on hormone treatment.
That's true.
Yes,
it's rare.
It's rare, but it occurs. Yeah. So one can never stop screening. So we're going to go into the break, and we will be right back with Dr. Cato and Dr. Kusky after the break to talk about the treatment of breast cancer.
When you're driving down the road, the last thing you want to think about is tires. Trust Discount Tire to get you up to speed with the right tire for your vehicle. We carry the world's best brands of tires, all at everyday low prices. At Discount Tire, we're not just about tires, we're about people. We'll get you the right tire for your vehicle to help keep you safe on the road. Stop by any Discount Tire store for a free air pressure and tire safety check. Your low price journey starts here. Discount Tire.
Join board-certified and personal physician Dr. Carrie Bordinko every Saturday afternoon at 1 p.m. on Money Radio 1510 a.m. and 99.3 FM for Doctor Talk, where we put healthcare back in your hands. Each week, we'll have a full panel of nationally known medical experts as guest speakers, taking an in-depth look at the issues that affect us all and matter most. Tune in this Saturday at 1 p.m. for Doctor Talk.
Your healthcare, your well-being, and your life. Now back to Doctor Talk with Dr. Barclay White, a board-certified radiologist, and Dr. Bordinko, a board-certified doctor of internal medicine and personal physician. To join the conversation, visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/Dr. Talk. And use the hashtag Dr. Talk. That's facebook.com/Dr. Talk. Now, here's your hosts, Dr. Bordinko and Dr. Barclay White.
So welcome back to Dr. Talk. We are here in the studio with Dr. Cato, who is a chemo-oncologist, and Dr. Kusky, who is a radiation oncologist. And we are talking about the treatment of breast cancer. So before we went into the break, what were we talking about? I've lost my train of thought.
We were talking about stage 4 breast cancer and
the
survivability and the numbers around that and why it's so important to get diagnosed early.
Yes, to get diagnosed early. But not only that, actually, my next question, what sort of follow-up do you recommend in someone that has a diagnosis of breast cancer? What sort of follow-up after their surgery, radiation, you know, they've completed their chemo maybe? How often do we have to follow those women?
I see them for the first 2 years about every 3 to 4 months, especially if they're taking anti-estrogen therapy. I want to know how they're doing with the side effects in order to help them through the side effects. After 2 years, I see them every 6 months to their 5th year anniversary. And then after 5 years, it depends whether I give them extended adjuvant therapy, and sometimes we're giving anti-hormone to some women beyond 5 years. Depends on the patient. So I may see them every 6 months or once a year. And usually I see them more frequently the first 2 years because if the cancer is going to misbehave, most of them misbehave in the first 2 years. So I want a close follow-up, especially after initiating anti-estrogen therapy.
Can you give the names of those drugs for our listeners? Because some
sure.
of them may not understand that term.
So there are 4 drugs right now, anti-estrogen, tamoxifen, which has been around for over 40 years. And it's still a good medication, is indicated in premenopausal. It's unfortunately, it's the only medication we have with premenopausal, though now we have other options. But it's also used in postmenopausal.
And that's an anti-estrogen drug.
That's an estrogen. And then we have 3 anti-estrogen for postmenopausal. They're Arimidex, Femara, and Aromacin. They're all equivalent. Some patients can tolerate one brand and not the other, but those are the four approved anti-estrogen therapy for breast cancer.
And side effects, most common side effects are bone pain?
The aromatase inhibitors, the Arimidex, the Femara, and the Aromacin, the biggest side effect are joint pain and stiffness. The clinical trial experience, the more active, the more you exercise, the less joint pain you have. So it's important for you to exercise because it helps with the joint pain. The other side effects, it can cause osteopenia, osteoporosis. Osteopenia is the beginning of osteoporosis. The treatment for that, again, is exercise. Mm-hmm. It may require calcium and vitamin D and other treatments for osteoporosis, but that's one of the side effects, and hot flashes. With tamoxifen, the number one side effect is hot flashes. Make sure you exercise and eat correctly. Some women gain weight. It puts you at risk for a clot in your leg, so stay active. But those are the major side effects.
So big push on exercise here.
Yeah,
yes.
I like that.
Yeah.
He's preaching to the choir in this room. So, and just to clarify for our listeners again, osteopenia and osteoporosis, we have done shows on those actually, but that's a loss of bone density that is caused by the drug itself. So you want to try and do things. And obviously we can treat that if you need to be on the medication.
Correct.
But, you know, if the exercise, a good weight-bearing exercise specifically, will help keep your bones dense and avoid, hopefully, not having to go on a second medication.
That's correct.
And I talk to all my patients getting radiation about exercise as well. We know that oxygen is so important for radiation or chemotherapy to kill cancer cells. It's what fixes the damage in the cells that produces the effectiveness. So I have my patients exercise 20 minutes a day minimum through radiation, right through to the very end of radiation. Their cardiac output goes up. They get better oxygenation of not just their breast tissue, but their entire body.
And they also probably feel a lot better, too. Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah. So let's start with our myths and facts. The commonest myth that, well, I'm not allowed to say it's a myth, right? But do you lose your hair with radiation therapy?
Only if you treat the head.
Yes, right.
So if you have a brain tumor, then you will lose at least a patch of your hair. But giving radiation to the breast, the beam is so focused that none of it escapes up to your head. So you're not going to lose any follicles whatsoever by radiating the breast. Maybe a little bit of armpit hair. But
oh, that could be good.
None of my patients have complained about that.
No.
They may actually pay extra to have that advantage. So the next one I'm going to throw over to Dr. Cato. And very common question that I get asked for people that are on chemo, I'm sure you get it every day, is should you avoid interactions with other people while undergoing chemotherapy?
No. Continue living your normal life as possible. One, I think it helps you psychologically. It helps you get to the treatments. I think that was a myth when patients developed low white blood cells from chemotherapy, which is your immune system, and you're more susceptible to infection. Nowadays, the day after chemotherapy, we usually give you a shot to boost the white blood cell, your bone marrow to produce white blood cells, and rarely do patients get admitted with infections. However, I tell all my patients to wash their hands and be careful. But yeah, you don't have to avoid other people or activities.
So this is one I haven't heard actually, but nobody should wear makeup during chemotherapy.
No, you can wear makeup with chemotherapy.
Yeah, yeah.
So
and you should wear your sunscreen and all these other things, right?
Yes.
I don't know if that question was written by a man or a woman. I can't tell. Okay, back to radiation therapy. If I undergo radiation therapy, it will increase my chance of getting a new cancer.
That is a great question, and I hear it frequently, so thank you for bringing that up. The doses of radiation that we give, remember we're giving it daily for a period of time, instead of mutating a cell, causing it to become malignant, it kills the cell. Background radiation, like what you get in Denver, Colorado, cosmic radiation, or even from diagnostic x-rays, that is more of a risk for causing cancer than therapeutic radiation because it kills the cell rather than mutating it.
Yeah. So the low dose mutates the cell. rather than kills it.
Potentially. Yeah. Rarely, yeah. Given the guidelines that we have. But our rate of second malignancies is less than 1 in 1,000 after radiation.
Yeah, and I think in the old days they did have some issues, right, with whole breast radiation and the medial aspect of the opposite breast. There was a slightly increased risk, but I think we're wise to that now, and it's also coned down, as you say.
Well, it's that Neanderthal machines I was talking about before, where there's a lot of scatter radiation. Now the edges of the beam are so sharp that there's very little scatter to other parts of the body, and that reduces the risk.
Is that something that our listeners should actually be educated to ask their team members, their radiation oncologists, what type of machine are you using? I mean, I'm assuming that in some communities those machines are still out there.
And how old the machine is.
Right.
I would absolutely ask, what is the quality of your equipment? Because it does vary across town. Some doctors hang on to their old equipment for 20 years because they don't want to invest in the newer technology. And I would want to know that if I was a patient.
So is radiation therapy painful?
Not initially. The side effects of radiation to the breast are mainly a Jamaican sunburn of the breast, the skin of the breast. So by the end of the treatment, I tell the patients, we really want it to be bright red, like a Jamaican sunburn. But that doesn't happen right away. It starts around the third week of treatment. We're talking about the external treatments now. It starts around the third week and will crescendo and will peak in the last week of treatment. After we stop the treatments, then it turns to a tan 10 days later, starts peeling just like a sunburn would. And the discomfort's not dissimilar to what you see with a sunburn.
And you can't mitigate that with sunscreens and things like that. That won't work.
The cancer cells would be very happy if you did that.
Oh, really?
Okay.
I'll have another question.
Yes.
So one of the questions I get sometimes is, I'm not going to get a biopsy because that spreads the tumor.
Oh,
faster.
I had that question.
Yes.
And you know, that's question. That's a famous question for prostate cancer. I think we had that on our prostate. So tell us the fact.
No, it does not.
Yes.
We do a biopsy of the breast if it's suspicious to get our diagnosis. Would you agree, Dr. Kessler?
Exactly, yeah. The needle biopsy does not push cells into the bloodstream.
No, and it's been actually very studied over the years by lots of people, including surgeons, who, when the radiologists started doing needle biopsies, they didn't like it, but it's actually proven that it hasn't caused any spread.
Unfortunately, that is a well-circulated rumor, and I have to also say that can actually be a well-circulated myth, even in the medical community, and I think that's a disservice to the patients that we serve. So another one, this is a really hot topic for anybody who wants to chime in, is hormone replacement therapy increases your risk of breast cancer. Wow, I just dropped a bomb with that one.
So the answer
is... We need another show.
The answer is yes. So if you look at the trends of breast cancer has decreased over the years, and I think it's because we're using less hormone replacement. There are cases, and that's an individual cases, the lifestyle that patients may need it. But that's a discussion that you sit down with your doctor, look at your risk of breast cancer, and help you with your quality of life. But it does increase, especially progesterone, but it does increase the risk for breast cancer.
Also, progesterone is worse, or progestin.
Progestin is worse.
Yeah, progestin, which is actually sort of different from progesterone.
Right.
That gets us back to the whole WHO study and everything going on there. So,
You
know, another fun-packed hour here with our guests in the studio. We want to thank Dr. Cato and Dr. Kusky for taking the time to come join us and educate our listeners about breast cancer part two, we're calling this. Hopefully most of you listened to the prior show, or if not, you can always go back to my website at www.consolarimd.com and go to the media archives to re-listen to all our prior shows with Dr. Barclay White and myself. And great information. I hope that our listeners feel more educated and empowered if they are dealing with this diagnosis or if they have a family member dealing with the diagnosis. And we hope to have you back next week for another show on Dr. Talk, another exciting topic coming at you. You're listening to us on Money Radio, 99.3 FM, 1510 AM. Have a great weekend.
You've been listening to Dr. Talk with Dr. Barclay White, a board-certified radiologist, and Dr. Bordinko, a board-certified doctor of internal medicine and personal physician. If you missed any part of this show, please go to moneyradio.com and listen to the audio archive. For additional information or to have your questions answered live on the air, send an email to drtalkaz@gmail.com. Be sure to tune in to Dr. Talk this and every Saturday afternoon from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on Money Radio 1510 and 99.3 FM. The information and opinions expressed in this broadcast are intended to address specific questions asked or situations described on this program and are not designed to constitute advice or recommendations as to any disease, ailment, or physical condition. You should not act or rely upon any information contained in this broadcast without seeking the advice of your personal physician. If you have any questions about the information or opinions expressed during this broadcast, please contact your doctor.
If you're struggling to pay the mortgage, Making Home Affordable is a free government resource that can make it easier. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD.
Money Radio 1510 and 99.3 FM is KFNM Mesa Phoenix. Time to take a break from our regular programming for some sports excitement from the end.